But for those of us who are Christians, and particularly if we're Christian parents, we are so blessed because we do. And we may be even blessed with a wonderful dad who loves us in the natural. But we now also have a Father in heaven who loves us with an infinite, unconditional love, whose very nature is love. Scripture says God is love. Every aspect of Him, even His justice in wrath, is done in love for the innocent, for those who are victims. So God is love. And then when we get born again, when we receive Christ as our Savior, He puts His Spirit into our heart so that we can love one another, and particularly our children, with that same sacrificial love that God Himself has for us. He fills us and floods our heart with that kind of love for our children. And so I love in this song where it says, my buddy sits beside me, my buddy hears me talk, and my buddy, my son, will see Jesus if in his life I walk. It's been said that we are the Bible that people may never read. They may never crack open that book, but they see us. And in us, hopefully, by that Holy Spirit, they see Christ in us. And so Matt and Laura, where is Laura? Ah, there she is. It's that modeling that I want to talk to you about today. Modeling Christ for your children, for Paul. My main text for today is 1 Corinthians 11:1. It's a very short verse. It's only 8 words. Actually, in the Greek, it's only 7 words. And in this passage, the Apostle Paul is writing to the church, the believers in the city of Corinth. And this is what he says to them in this short verse. He says, imitate me. Imitate me, just as I also imitate Christ. Let's say that together. Imitate me, just as I also imitate Christ. Now that might seem like a very bold statement for Paul to make, because we make a big deal about the fact that our faith should not be in men, but in God. Men are fallible. Men mess up. And even the nicest, dedicated, stable, mature individuals eventually, sometime in their life, make mistakes. We all mess up. And we all, at some point or another, let each other down. And so we're very adamant to take Scripture's teaching that says our faith should be in God. Our love should always be for our fellow men. But our faith, per se, should be in God, because God is infallible. God doesn't mess up. And whereas man will let us down from time to time, God's love never fails. And so it might seem a little shocking for Paul to say, imitate who? Imitate me, as I also imitate Christ. That's bold. But you know, the reason Paul could make that statement is because, in fact, if you are a follower of Christ, we are all called to model Christ. Aren't we called to model Christ for one another? And Scripture says that if we are truly born again, our old man, our old self, is crucified with Christ. We buried Him in the waters of baptism. Paul says, it's no longer I who live, but who? Christ lives in me. The life I live, I now live by faith in the Son of God. Christ is now living in me. So to the degree that I am yielded to Him, that He fills me in my life and my thoughts and my actions with His Spirit, to that degree I can say, along with the Apostle Paul, very humbly, imitate me as I imitate Christ. And so Matt and Laura, I believe God is calling you today to so live your lives and fashion your lives, your values, your motivations, your actions, your words, to so live your lives in such a way that you can say to little Paul, with absolute integrity of heart, Paul, imitate me as I imitate Christ. I believe that is God's word for you and Laura today. Now, that's a pretty tall order. You guys feel challenged by that? Yes, praise God. Thank you, brother. There are a multitude of passages that actually reflect that. In fact, one is directed to leaders. So I would say to the elders, you know, if that's a pretty tall order, yeah, imagine standing up in front of the congregation and saying, folks, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Man, I want to get on my face before I say that. Imitate me? Come on. Imitate Joe. Everybody loves Joe, man. What's not to like about Joe? So we've got a challenge. God challenges us today. Do you feel challenged by this? Amen. So let's break it down. Let's kind of define that. Let's look at some actual examples from Scripture that says, okay, here's how you break it down. Here's where the rubber meets the road. Here's how you live this out in real life. Number one, it's a matter of purity of mind and body, having a pure mind that results in pure actions. A pure mind that results in pure actions. Philippians 4, 8 and 9, Paul says this. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. And then verse 9, the things which you learned and received and heard and saw, where? In me. These do. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do. And the God of peace will be with you. Wow. Praise God. Paul starts off telling the Philippians the types of things that they ought to think about, focus on, and meditate on in their thoughts. And he says, he talks about things that are noble, things that are just, things that are pure, things that are lovely. Think about these words as I'm saying that. Noble, just, pure, lovely, things that have a good report, things that have virtue, things that are praiseworthy. And then he goes on to imply that by focusing on these things, that has actually produced a lifestyle in him, a way of life with actions that they were to imitate, the things that they heard and saw in Paul that was produced by thinking about these kinds of things that were lovely and pure and good report, noble and just. And he said that if they do that, there's a reward. The reward, the result would be if they think on these things and if they imitate the fruit of that in Paul's life, the reward would be that the God of peace would be with them. What does that mean? I mean, it's nice to say, well, I'm glad the God of peace is with me. Cool. What's on TV? What does he mean? The God of peace. He means that God's very nature of peace would then flood their soul and their heart and their thoughts. So rather than walking in turmoil and anxiety and fear and dread about all the things going on around them, they would have like an island and a refuge of peace in the depths of their soul. Paul said, think about these things. Do these things that you've seen me do, and God will flood your soul with peace. That's a pretty good offer. That's an offer I don't want to refuse, especially in today's world. We live in a culture, and it shocks me all. Just when I think I've seen it all, I just am more and more shocked. We live in a culture where fear and depression and anxiety and hopelessness and despair is absolutely epidemic. It is epidemic, and especially among youth. I hear this over and over and over. I actually have a list of people that I pray for daily who are fighting anxiety and fear and panic and despair in their hearts. And it is rampant. It's epidemic. It is all over our culture. It characterizes our generation. That's how rampant it is. And it's no wonder, because when you think about all the things that we are flooded with, I mean, there are multitudes of reasons, don't get me wrong, everything from biological, medical reasons to social to psychological and all these kinds of things. But a huge part of this picture, which has a huge influence and cannot be discounted, is what our culture pours out to us day after day. Images, violent, demonic, dark, psychotic images everywhere we turn. I mean, our culture is saturated with this stuff. Ultra-violent movies that were, I mean, you're not just, you know, people are, you know, getting killed and stuff anymore. I mean, like, where you see the flesh ripping off of their bone and eyes being gouged out and just horrifying scenes of violence. It's commonplace. It's only rated R anymore. They didn't even bother to rate it X. You only have to be 17 to watch that stuff. Oh yeah, that'll help your mind at 17. Lyrics to songs that are so dehumanizing. I'm not even talking about they have some cuss words in them. I'm talking about that actually profane humanity, because they're so degrading, so violent, so dehumanizing. Video games, and I'm not trying to break bad on entertainment, but you know, there's lines. I mean, you know, video games. One video game my buddy had once where you literally saw the guts being blown onto the wall. And probably this is commonplace anymore. I don't know. The guy just didn't even get shot. You literally saw his guts blown against the wall and splatter the wall with blood. And when you play this for 14 hours at a stretch, I gotta believe that somewhere, somehow, your mind gets a little saturated with the effect of that ultra violence. And I'm not saying that, you know, if you play this game, you're gonna go out and, you know, go postal on somebody. I'm not saying that. I'm saying everything we take in becomes a part of us, and it takes its toll. It's a part of the picture. And the Bible says that if we want peace, oh, let me say also, the heroes of our culture. Because our educational system is sad. It holds up men to be admired and patterned after and to be emulated. And these men, no matter how educated they were, no matter how successful they were, many of them were frankly a mess. And many of them had nervous breakdowns and committed suicide. Their families were a wreck. They went from marriage to marriage to marriage to marriage. And they hold these guys up for us to emulate as heroes, and these guys are not heroes at all. They were psychotic. So it's no wonder, you know, the Bible says if you want peace. How many people here want peace? How many people have ever been in a place where you desperately wanted peace? Desperately.